Hey, if you're looking for more action on the road, check out what Cutting Audio's got. Deathlands. Outlanders. The Executioner. Stony Man. We're loaded for bear. Available at road stops everywhere or at www.cuttingaudio.com.
Cutting Audio.
A 100 years ago, a rain of nuclear bombs obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. It was the end of the world. Doomsday, sky dark. The great cities were gone in a blinding flash, replaced by bomb craters whose deadly glow illuminated the nighttime sky. Mountains rose and fell, valleys slammed shut, and lakes boiled under the atomic bombardment, permanently altering the topography of North America. Burning clouds of isotopes and poisons filled the sky in an endless, raging hurricane, and acid rain pounded the lush farmland and forests of the continent into sterile desert. With the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. Cannibals hunted prey, cold hearts brutally raided farms, and slavers seized anybody they could as chattel. Plus, lost in the wilds of the New World were functioning pre-dark war machines. Shielded against the onslaught of the atomic holocaust, the computer-operated juggernauts were patiently waiting to continue a war that was long finished. And death was almost always the reward for the person who foolishly awoke one of the terrible sleeping giants. In crumbling ruins, ragged people fought to the death over a dented can of food or a single precious bullet. Any type of gun was more valuable than gold. Defense against the horrible swarms of muties, twisted abominations that arose from the nuke craters and feasted on the flesh of humanity. Slowly, over the long decades, civilization of a sort was returning to the world. Crude walled cities were rising from the ashes of the past. The populations of these villes were ruthlessly governed by self-appointed barons, each ruler backed by a private army of brutal sekhmen. Whips and chains kept the people inside, while barbed wire and blasters kept the muties out. Electricity was seldom seen, starvation universal, rape a daily event, death the only known means of escape. This is America in the late 21st century. Welcome to the Deathlands. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, and Thomas Penny. Deathlands number 46, Gemini Rising.
Get!
The first Sekhman snarled, leveling his blaster. Dressed in tattered rags, with strips of cloth wound around their feet as crude shoes, the couple before him whimpered in fear, but didn't move an inch. So the Sekhman worked the bolt of his weapon, chambering around.
We just want to get out of the cold, sir.
The man raised his empty hands. Without a word, the other Sekhman worked the bolt of his old BAR rifle. The wooden stock was bound with gray tape, the lens in the scope badly cracked, but the barrel was twice as wide as that of the hunting rifle and shone with fresh oil.
"Move away slow, liar."
The first guard edged closer to the gate of the ville. The wall surrounding the town was built of everything, bricks at one point, cinder blocks at another, field stones and notched logs here and there. But the patchwork barrier stood 10 feet tall, and the top glistened with jagged broken glass. The only visible entrance was a wide gateway, the arch lined with bricks supporting two thick wooden doors hung on 6 mismatched hinges. The left door was bolted into place, closing off half the entrance. The second was open, allowing a glimpse at the houses and structures within. To the left rose a high mound of busted shale, and to the right was a huge excavation, a stone quarry whose stepped slopes extended hundreds of feet deep to a calm pool of muddy water. In the distance, dark mountains stretched above the thick growth of green forest and disappeared into the gray autumn clouds. The pregnant woman gasped.
"Liar? Oh, but sir, I can promise you that—"
"You said you two walked here from Colbertville. That was stupid. First off, I never heard of the place, and secondly, your shoes and pants ain't dirty enough."
The second guard took over.
"Plus, you claim not to have eaten in a week. Ain't no traces of hunger on your faces."
"Liars and cheats don't get into our ville."
The man wet his lips, turning to look at each of the armed Sekhmen in turn, while the pregnant woman shivered and hugged her thin coat closer to her body.
"But, sir, I'm close to birthing, and the babe will die in this cold."
"Don't care. I said get."
The Sekhman's breath was foggy in the early morning chill.
"Unless you want to take an air dance like those horse thieves."
The couple darted a glance to the gallows, which extended over the stout wall surrounding the ville. A pair of human figures dangled at the end of thick knotted ropes, while a crow sat on one man's shoulder, pecking at his face. Hands bound behind his back, the other weakly struggled to scare away the rest of the blackbirds, circling closer and closer. A strip of bark hung about his neck, with his crime scrawled there for all to read.
"Maybe we can make a deal.
Last chance."
The first Sekhman stated this without emotion, his calloused hands tight around the stock of his rebuilt weapon. The woman lifted her skirts. The guards started to back away, but forced themselves to look, just in case it was a diversion so she could draw a weapon. But the woman was naked underneath the many layers of shirts and dresses, except for tall boots and a padded belt around her flat stomach, to simulate pregnancy. The Sekhman seemed confused. She smirked, easing open a tiny pocket on the pack and withdrawing a little bottle filled with white powder.
"Few outlanders want to rape a pregger. Now just a pinch of this will make you more happy than 10 women, and you can sell the rest."
"That's paradise for free. Just let us inside to spread around some of the joy, okay?"
The man grinned eagerly as if he had a done deal.
"Jolt! Stinking drug dealers, light 'em up!"
And both men fired. The smugglers were so close, the flame from the muzzles actually reached their faces. The 22 long round from the hunting rifle blew away a piece of the woman's forehead, and the gushing corpse staggered backward from the gate, her hands clawing the air. Bleeding from a terrible wound where his ear used to be, her companion snarled in bestial rage and drew a massive black automatic pistol just before the second Sekhman cut loose. The triphammer blows of the military cartridges opened his chest wide, and he joined his wife on the frosty ground, steam rising from the red blood pumping out of the gaping holes in their flesh. The first Sekhman stood alert and watched for signs of treachery from friends hidden in the bushes, while the second guard ransacked their pockets, taking only a small derringer from the woman and the big hand cannon from the man.
"Never seen its like. What is it?"
"A 44 automag. Big motherfucker. Damn, only 3 rounds."
"And you could trade for a good horse for that monster."
The other man grinned as he tucked the gun into his belt.
"My idea exactly."
"Now, my daughter would like that palm blaster.
Well, it's my turn to get paid, but I missed with the first shot.
He tossed over the derringer.
So it's yours. Fair deal?
Fair deal.
The sec man tucked the tiny blaster into a pocket.
Thanks. Okay, let's drag this